T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Pony Express.
Down 0-1, but it's not the end of the world. New experiences for us all the way through. You know, we've proven our resiliency and ability to win games that we need to and kind of answer the bell and learn from, you know, nights like tonight.
And welcome, everybody, to the show. All of you out there across North America this morning. Added emphasis on North America because I've been chastised by some of our listeners who find us on SiriusXM and also just our AM and FM affiliates that are up in Canada that I don't either acknowledge or cater the show enough to our Canadian listening audience. And if there was ever a time to acknowledge or point out that we do have listeners in Canada, it's probably right now, no? With the Raptors in the NBA Finals, in an entire country, it seems, starting to rally around the Raptors after a Game 1 win. And it's not just the Toronto citizens and the Canadian fans who seem to be jumping on the Raptors bandwagon. We are seeing firsthand, we are witnessing firsthand how reactionary the North American sports media has become with this series. And that's where we're going to start today's show. Steph Curry talking about his team's resiliency and how he's come to expect a rebound or a bounce back from his Warriors teams over the years. And they've really only been in a big series hole once with Steph, and that was the 3-1 series deficit against Oklahoma City, the comeback that prompted or spurred Kevin Durant giving up on the Thunder and leaving and joining Golden State. If you can't beat them, join them. A decision that will forever go down in NBA annals as one of the top three or top five free agent signings or moments in league history. And so here we are with fans and media types questioning the Warriors after just one loss. And whether or not there is real cause for concern, that is going to be the major talking point to begin today's show. Are the Warriors in any trouble? Are they in real trouble as they get ready for Game 2 tonight? And I will give you a voice, I will give you an opportunity to participate in the conversation this morning at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. My name's Andrew Filipponi. I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You can follow me at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us at CBS Sports Radio. You always remember your first kiss, first date. If you've been married a couple times, maybe your first wedding, your firstborn, your first drink, the first time you imbibed in life, the first time you jumped out of an airplane, the first time you went, I don't know, deep sea diving, the first time you bench pressed 300 pounds, your first touchdown, your first home run. Always remember your firsts in life. And the Raptors just had their first. That game on Thursday night was equal parts basketball game and like religious revival. It was an entire country embracing a sport. embracing a sport that always gets the back burner to hockey. If the Maple Leafs had made a trade Friday morning after game one of the NBA Finals, my guess is that Toronto Sports Radio would have led with the trade. If that's just the way it works up there. But this basketball season has given the NBA and Raptors zealots up there reason to kind of announce their presence. We're here. We're passionate. We can be just as crazy as the hockey fans here. But it's also created an opportunity for new fans to get into something, to watch a winner. You know, with apologies to the soccer team in Toronto and the Canadian football team in Toronto, that city has not seen a champion since the Blue Jays in 93. So they're dying for it. They're champing at the bit for it. And so it looked like history in the making Thursday night. They're not going to be able to reproduce that. You can't fake or you can't artificially create that kind of energy or buzz again. Jurassic Park outside the arena. The buildup in anticipation inside. Fans had waited. The Raptors have been around for almost 30 years now. Fans have waited close to three decades for that night. And the players fed off it. And for the Warriors, it was really just another game. If there is any franchise that is going to treat an NBA Finals like a ho-hum affair, it's Golden State. I was in the building. I was in Cleveland when the Warriors swept the Cavs last year in the NBA Finals. And there was barely a celebration. It's become old hat for them. So when you've got two teams that in the regular season were separated by what? A game. Toronto won 58 games. The Warriors won 57. There isn't a chasm between these two teams. It's not like Golden State versus Portland. There's not a gulf between these two teams talent-wise. I would expect all of the kind of intangible things pointed to a Toronto win in game one, and that's what we got. When you have a night like that, where the players are feeding off the energy of their fans, that's how you get a Pascal Siakam 14-17 from the field. That's how you get, you know, just efficiently, from an efficiency standpoint, one of the best games in NBA Finals history. And so the point I'm making today is do not get swept up in what was an emotional game one and apply those results to game two and the rest of the series. The closest thing Toronto will get to game one is if the series comes back to Toronto for game seven and the Raptors are a game away from winning the first championship in franchise history. They can't win the NBA Finals tonight. Contrary to popular belief, if Toronto goes up 2-0, the series isn't over. So if game one was freaking Star Wars, tonight will be The Empire Strikes Back. I don't make predictions. Very rarely do I make my show prediction-based. Because everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a prediction on things. And to me, that can make for very boring paint-by-numbers radio. But I am urging anybody out there who lives in a state or a place where you can legally bet on sports to get to that place of bookmaking and put in a bet on the Warriors tonight as a two-point underdog. There is no way on planet Earth that Pascal Siakam comes anywhere close to what he did in game one. It was his first 30-point game in the playoffs since Game 3 of the Orlando series. His first 30-point game, the next game, he came out and he had 14 against Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. A big game for Siakam. He had 25. The next game, he scored 7. When you get career performances from your third or fourth player, they usually, gravity kicks in and they come back down to earth the next time they're on the court. And I would expect Siakam to go from 30 plus down to like 14 or 15. And that in and of itself will be the difference in a game like this one. Are the Warriors in trouble? No. They had 9 days off. They had 10 days in between games. Maybe some complacency. Maybe a little bit of, there's no urgency here out of us. I mean, why would there be? They fell behind Portland in games 2, 3, and 4, kicked it into hyperdrive in the second half of those games and found a way to win. I think Golden State, if there's going to be a team that feels like it can rest on its laurels and still find a way to win a game, it's them. And they could never overcome what was going on inside that city and inside that arena in game one. That will not be the case tonight. And I bet if we went and we looked up in years past what was written after some game ones, okay? 91, the Lakers beat the Bulls in game one of the NBA Finals. My guess, I could probably find it. Some Bill Plaschke type. You know, somebody in either the Chicago media or the LA media probably said after that game, well, Jordan's Bulls aren't ready for the NBA Finals. The Lakers' experience is going to shine through. They're going to show the Bulls what it's all about to play in on the biggest stage. Chicago won game 2. They went on to win the series in 5. How about Jordan's last year in 98? They lose game 1 to Utah. My guess is after that game, some Jay Mariotti type probably wrote a column that said, you know what, the Bulls were lucky to get by the Pacers. The dynasty is over. It's Utah's time. The Bulls went on to win the series in 6. How about when Oklahoma City went up on Miami 1-0 with Durant, Harden, Westbrook? I bet some columnists, maybe like a Dan Le Batard type in Miami, said, you know what, this Heat experiment with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, it's just not working. This is the real big three in Oklahoma City. The Heat won the series in 6. How about when the Warriors won the first 2 games against the Cavs a couple of years ago? What do you think people were writing then? Probably saying, this is no contest. The Warriors are going to win this series in 4. Get the brooms out. Cleveland wins in 7. So don't be one of these reactionary nitwits who after one game says, well, we've seen it now. There's an Achilles heel in Golden State. They're vulnerable. They're weak. It's over. I thought there were some reasons why Toronto could give the Warriors a hard time in this series. We saw it in game 1, but they also hit lightning in a bottle. And I can assure you that won't happen tonight. And there's a big, big reason why I think Toronto still deserves to be the underdog in this series. And I'll just give you a clue. I'll give you a little tease here. It's not because Kevin Durant might come back later in the series. So I want to get your thoughts here. North America today. Are the Warriors in any trouble? Yes or no? Basketball fans coast to coast, north of the border, what do you think? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. No equivocation on my part. I say no. I don't think there's any reason yet to want to change your pick. If you like the Warriors beforehand, great. If you like the Raptors beforehand, you can't expect to ever get a facsimile or a duplication of what happened in game 1. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Something else Canadians love. No, not Molson. Or Moose. It's really become a punchline and a laughingstock here. I'll tell you what that is later this hour. But I do want to get your calls on this. I promised I'd give you a form here to sound off on Game 2 of the NBA Finals. And if the Warriors really are teetering on the edge of elimination, if you think after watching Game 1, there's actually a chance the dynasty ends in this series against the Raptors. 855-212-4CBS. My name's Andrew Filippone. The show is called The Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is The Pony Express.
And the best way to get in touch with me is to pick up the phone and call 855-212-4227. That number is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Are the Warriors in any trouble? As we lead into Game 2 tonight, that's on the table. Did you see warts, chinks in the armor, things that have you believing the Raptors will now pull the upset? 855-212-4227. I am one of the few hosts on this network who's really into the NHL. I'm based in Pittsburgh. The Penguins are huge here. They won back-to-back cups in 16 and 17. They've got the best player in the world here, Sidney Crosby. I mean, there's a lot of, yeah, you almost feel in the spring like the city I live in gets annexed by Canada. The support of the team is so fervent and avid. And there are a few of us. Scott Farrell, who's on weeknights, is a huge hockey fan. John Kincaid, who came on before me, used to work for the Flyers and the now defunct Atlanta Thrashers, who moved to Winnipeg. I mean, there are a few of us, less than a handful, I would say. And it pains me to see how irrelevant the NHL is. Not that it ever challenged the NFL or Major League Baseball, but there was a time in the early 90s where it came close to the NBA. When the Rangers won the Cup Final, it felt like the NHL was closing on the NBA, that there was a question over which winter sport was top dog. When Wayne Gretzky was in L.A., it was on TV all the time, Saturday Night Live. He was used as a pitch man. He wasn't just a star or a celebrity north of the border. He was huge here. And then the sport got boring because of the neutral zone trap was in vogue. And you know, guys like Mario got sick and Lemieux got older. And the NHL kind of just fell off the map. ESPN gave up the rights. I think that really hurt. The sport was locked out for an entire year. That was a killer. And then it came back, and they made a deal with the devil, I think. NBC thought there was a ripe opportunity to replace the NBA in its inventory. It had lost the NBA to ABC and ESPN, so it scoops up the NHL. Problem with that was you'd get to the Cup Final like now, and when games were not on NBC, they'd get shipped off to channels like the Outdoor Life Network versus, and now NBC Sports Network, which sounds like a big channel, but it's not. It might have the NBC logo on it, and you still get, you know, A1 top flight broadcasters like Mike Tirico working Stanley Cup Final games. But it's on a channel that most people can't find. Fox News Channel is the only cable network with more viewers than ESPN. So when games 2 and 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals were on ESPN, not a big deal. When the college football playoff and college football national championship game are on ESPN, people know where to go to get it. Most of America has cable television. Subscribe to additional channels other than the over-the-air networks and free networks you get with an antenna. Only Fox News Channel has more viewers than ESPN. NBC Sports Network is 35th on that list of cable networks. Viewership. What's their audience look like? Number 35. So when it's a Saturday night and there's no NBA finals and it's still early in the baseball season, there's no other big, momentous sporting event going on. There's no Triple Crown event. There's no golf major. It's a night where the NHL could take center stage. They're shipped off to NBC Sports Network. Songland, a series I've never heard of, is on NBC. Then Dateline for the 1,000,000th time, a rerun of Dateline. St. Louis, which is a great sports city, despite the fact that they lost the Rams. St. Louis gets a chance to host its first Stanley Cup final game since 1970. The city is more into that than the Cubs and Cardinals game that's being played a couple miles up the road. You've got an unbelievable environment and atmosphere there, similar to the one in Toronto for game one of the NBA Finals on Thursday. And it's on a channel no one's watching. More people last night watched Nick Jr. than NBC Sports Network. More people watched the National Geographic Channel. More people watch Animal Planet. More people are watching VH1. Since music videos went extinct, I didn't even know VH1 still existed. The Lifetime Channel does bigger numbers than NBC Sports Network. TV Land, reruns of Gunsmoke. The Nick at Night channel. More people are watching the Dick Van Dyke Show than NBC Sports Network. And it's one thing when first round Stanley Cup playoff series ends up on NBC Sports. But when it's your signature event, it's the Stanley Cup final. It's supposed to be an event that even casual sports fans view, they get into. It's the pinnacle of the sport. It's one of the four major sports in America, or at least it used to be. It was easier to find. More people would watch the Champions League final on TNT, which is a much bigger network than NBC Sports Network. A soccer game played in Madrid. I don't think there was an American on the field yesterday. It's just a black eye for the NHL. And it happens every year. And I'm not going to stop talking about it until it changes. Because it's an embarrassment for a sport in a league I really care about. All right. I know people up in Canada, I said North American listeners, are probably like, what are you talking about? We've got Sportsnet and the CBC, and we've got our best broadcasters, and everybody's watching it up here. Well, stateside, we've got Songland on NBC. It's a joke. Are the Warriors in any trouble? Do the Raptors have to win game two to win the series? Something from game one that I think is a bad omen for the Raptors, a bad sign. And it's not Kevin Durant's. It's not an injury update on him. It's not a status check on one of the best players in the NBA. Again, to join the show, it's real easy. You can follow me on Twitter and tweet me there at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 is the telephone number.
This is the Pony Express.
That's right. Kevin Durant won't play tonight. What does that mean for the Warriors? Do they need him back? How about one of the biggest sports upsets of the year and a guy who looks like he could win the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is the athlete who pulled off the stunner. We'll talk about that next hour. If one of our local affiliates leaves to pick up a local show or maybe a baseball pregame or something like that, you can continue listening on radio.com. The app is free. Just search CBS Sports Radio. You can go right to our website, cbsportsradio.com, and stream us there. You can tell Alexa to play CBS Sports Radio. So there's a bunch of ways you can keep up with the show. Satellite subscribers, if you're listening on terrestrial radio right now, you can flip over your satellite subscription and find us on SiriusXM Channel 206. I think one of the big issues for the Raptors here is the fact that we're dealing with a Kawhi Leonard who is obviously not 100%. And the glass half full argument is, well, they just beat the Warriors and Kawhi was only 5 of 14 and did not have a great game. And yet the Raptors were still able to win pillar to post. They were never really, the game was never really in doubt for them. There was no typical calling card Warriors big third quarter and then come back in the second half of the game to beat them. And you did that without Kawhi giving you a vintage performance. Nothing that was in any way comparable to what happened against Milwaukee or the Game 7 performance against against Philadelphia. So you might say, well, that's good. Baloney. I completely disagree with that. Because the Warriors will wear you down and will win the war of attrition with their pace over a seven-game series. And it was fun, and it was right in line with the energy and the vibe inside the arena. And Toronto got into a track meet game and got up and down the floor and pretty much beat Golden State at their own game in Game 1. But as the series goes on, I don't see how a clearly wounded Kawhi Leonard, who looks like he's without his legs, dealing with this knee tendonitis, I don't see how that's a good thing for them. And it reminds me of what happened last year in the NBA Finals. LeBron James was great in Game 1. Cleveland should have won the game if not for one of the all-time mishaps and blunders in NBA history, J.R. Smith. LeBron had 51 points in that game. He breaks his hand out of frustration after Game 1, and he goes from 51 points to an inefficient 29 points in Game 2, and he wasn't the same player for the rest of the series. And so my official prognostication here is that I believe the same thing will happen. History will repeat itself in this series. And by the end of it, just remember that I said this. By the end of the series, you will hear that excuse for Toronto. Well, Kawhi Leonard wasn't healthy. Give him credit for even getting the Raptors to this point. They ran into a buzzsaw. They ran into a juggernaut. Kawhi just ran out of steam in the NBA Finals. I believe that'll be the narrative when this series is over. Kawhi, when they got to the end of the marathon, when he was in mile 24, mile 25, he pulled his hamstring or he sprained his ankle and he practically had to limp to the finish line. And that will not be, it will not be a criticism of Kawhi. He's not, pretty much regardless of what happens here, Kawhi Leonard has won over detractors and critics with the way he's played throughout the playoffs. I just believe it'll end up being a storyline that we've seen before when LeBron would run into the Warriors, where by the end, it's like, how much can you expect from one man? And if the Warriors were smart, and I trust Kerr, Kerr's actually, I used to not be the biggest Steve Kerr fan because I figured, you know, any schmo could coach that team to 50-plus wins. They pretty much coached themselves. Luke Walton, who was a disaster with the Lakers, was perfectly fine when he had to fill in for Kerr during his back problems. And we saw with a replacement-level coach, with a guy who probably isn't cut out to be an NBA coach, that that team was still amazing. My guess is, because it was a loss, and even though the Warriors are still confident, I don't think they're going to just go with status quo for Game 2 tonight. My prediction from a schematic or strategic standpoint is the Warriors will not commit so many men defensively to stopping Kawhi Leonard. And this, I believe, will be a night where they'll trust Draymond to get Pascal Siakam down from, what, 30-plus points to maybe cut that in half to 14 or 15 points. And they'll leave Leonard in a situation where, look, man, if you're really healthy and you can get 40 and you can do it on 55% from the field and you can maybe chew up a dozen or so points at the foul line too, and you beat us that way, so be it. But when I watch him run around and move around, I don't see a Kawhi Leonard right now who's capable of doing that. So I don't think you need to use numbers to stop him. I think Kawhi's own body is going to conspire against him. And then at that point, if Draymond plays like the best defensive player in the league and Kawhi is not fully healthy, then who on the Raptors steps up and wins you the game? Fred VanVleet? Mark Gasol? Kyle Lowry, who's a career playoff underachiever? You tell me. Can you picture the Raptors? Close your eyes and try this. Can you picture a hobbling, limping Kawhi Leonard with the confetti raining down on him, with the MVP trophy in one hand and the Larry O'Brien trophy in the other, with the Raptors NBA championship hat on? Can you picture that? Because I can't. And I think maybe if it were flipped around and the Raptors would have had all the time off, that would have given Kawhi a chance to recuperate and rest. And I think in this specific case, the rest will favor the Warriors. They got the rust out of their system, and I think they bounce back in game two in a big way tonight. Are the Warriors in trouble? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I'm Andrew Filippone. The show is called The Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio. Here is Maurice in Connecticut. He's on the air. Hi, Maurice. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing?
Hey.
I think the Raptors can win tonight. And I think they'll win the series.
You think they can or you think they will?
I think they can and they will.
Okay.
This is why. They're 3-0 against the Warriors this season. And one of those games in regular season, Kawhi Leonard was off on a load management. So the other players can step up and play the game. But like I said, you got the Warriors got to be beaten. They're the champions, so I think the Raptors can pull it off.
So you think a game from December has bearing or meaning on tonight's game?
Well, no, but I'm saying it gives the other players confidence.
Well, then why bring it up?
Well, I bring it up because it happened. That's not alleged.
Sure.
It happened. They beat him without Kawhi Leonard. It's not alleged. They beat him without Kawhi Leonard.
I understand that, but by bringing it up, you're telling me that game has significance. And then 2 seconds later, you said, well, it doesn't actually matter. So then which one is it?
Well, I'm saying it does matter because it happened, and it can happen again. I still think the Raptors are going to win, but I mean.
So who's the better team?
The better team, in my opinion, is the Warriors, no doubt.
So you're picking the second best team to win the series?
I'm just rooting for the Raptors, but I think.
Okay, that's a totally different thing. That's way different. I mean, I've done that too. Whether you just have an issue with a team because you can't stand them, you're jealous of them, or you're sick of them, or from a betting perspective, let's say, you're trying to find value in the underdog. And you try to find value in the underdog by convincing yourself, well, look, the teams with home court advantage in the NBA Finals have won 15 of the last 20. The Raptors haven't lost to the Warriors yet this year. Their size can give the Warriors an issue. I mean, I've put myself through those mental gymnastics as well. But I don't – the moral of the story, the bottom line for me is I do not get why in the world people would back off the Warriors or flip-flop on this series because of one game. If the game was in Golden State and the Raptors had gone in there and won from the tip-off to the final horn and just showed in Oakland that they were the vastly superior team for 48 minutes, I could at least then understand why it would be tempting to say, man, Toronto just took home court advantage in the series. They blitzed Golden State. The Warriors are in trouble. Toronto was already a really good home team, and they had the biggest game in Raptors history in front of them, and Golden State had been napping in their hammocks with a little lemonade or an Arnold Palmer for the last 9 days. They got ambushed. They walked into a hornet's nest in that game. And I just don't think that Toronto will be able to duplicate or replicate what that scene was like in game one. So do yourself a favor. If you live in a state where you're allowed to bet on the Warriors, they have tremendous value tonight. They're an underdog in this game. Which, why would you, after just one game between these two teams, why would you want to either give up or discount the Warriors? If there's any team that deserves the benefit of the doubt, it's this one, with or without Kevin Durant. And that's what I want to talk about next. Durant's not going to play again. Is that a big deal or not? So much has been made of the Warriors' numbers without Durant, what the team looks like without him, whether or not they're better off without him. Where do you come down on that debate? Do the Warriors need Kevin Durant to win the series? Did game one prove that without Kevin Durant, the Raptors are the better team? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. If your local affiliate is stepping away, go to radio.com. CBSSportsRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 206. My name is Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.